So the going is good. And Moshe Rabbeinu more or less has been getting his way, which is what brings us into the fourth reading. The fourth reading opens with Moshe Rabbeinu being told that just about everything he asked for, God has granted. And so, seeing that God was acceding to his requests, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to make just one more. Verse 18, chapter 33. Vayoymar, and he said, if so, hareini no eskvedecha. Then, please, let me behold your glory. So Rashi says, hareini no eskvedecha. This is yet another request, as we said. Ro Moshe, shahoya eis ratzon. Moshe Rabbeinu could see that this was an extraordinary time of divine grace. V'dvar of mekubalim, and his words or requests were being accepted. V'haysif lisho, and so he made now yet another request. Lahar oisoi maris kvoidei, that God reveal or show him his glory, his honor. But God says to Moshe, okay, here is where we hit the brick wall. We're not going further. Vayomer Hashem said, Ani aver kol tuvi al panecha. Hashem said, I am going to make all my goodness pass before you. And v'korasi b'shem Hashem lefanecha. I will proclaim the divine name before you. And the pasuk finishes, v'chanesi es asher achoin. I will show favor to whom I choose to show favor. V'richamti es asher arachem. And I will show mercy when I choose to show mercy. What's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu did not get a straight answer. He said, hareini no eskvedecha. Let me behold your glory. And God says, I'm going to have all my goodness pass before me. So we'll take a look in Rashi soon and have a detailed explanation, but the synopsis of the explanation is that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God that as a matter of fact, it was now indeed time for Hashem to partly reveal himself to Moshe. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking essentially for, when he said, hareini no eskvedecha, let me behold your glory, let me behold your honor, is to be able to see how Hashem manifests his presence in this world, because Moshe is in this world. So he wants to see Hashem, the presence of God in this world. And God says, I'm going to partly do that. I'm going to partly do that. So he says, when you prayed to me, you assumed that the last recourse, when all else fails, was to invoke the merit of the patriarchs. And that's what Avraham Avinu did. Zechor l'Avraham, l'Yitzchak, l'Yankiv. However, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a higher goodness that you can invoke. And that a higher goodness is what I am going to tell you or communicate with you now. That's the meaning of ani aver kol tuvi. There's goodness, and then there's kol tuvi. It's as if Moshe Rabbeinu being told, I'm going to tell you the secret. God says, here's when you need to get my attention, when you need to get my favor, when you need to get my pardon. This is the secret formula. This is what really is the best way to get me. So this is, imagine, you desire influence, whatever it may be. And the one from whom you desire to influence said, let me tell you the secret. Here's how you can influence me. This is my weak spot. This is my special spot. This is the thing that will make me react. Imagine if we could know the thing that makes God react. We do. How do we know? Because God says to Moshe. And that's what this is specifically in prayer. He says, these are the attributes that you're going to evoke and invoke when you pray, so that even when the merit of the patriarchs has been exhausted, Hashem says, I will still forgive the Averis, and the prerogative to forgive will of course always remain mine. God says, I will choose what I will choose. It's not as if I now have, so to speak, given the keys away. However, this is the most powerful way for you to be able to evoke and invoke my favor. Wow. Okay, this is very special. What's it going to be? So let's take a look in Rashi now. Rashi says, Ani Avir. Because Moshe Rabbeinu sought to seek the glory or vision of God's essence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to fulfill this request, but only partially. Higiya sha'a shetire bechvedi. Funny you should say that. The time has come for you to know part of my honor, or part of my essence. What is that? Masha arsha eischoliris. That which I'm going to permit you to see. You wanted to behold my glory? Here's what I'm going to permit you to see. Lefisha ani roitze vitzorech lilamedcha seder tfila. God says, because I want to, because I need to teach you the manner of prayer, the most efficacious manner of prayer, the order of prayer. Shenitzrachta levakesh rachamim al Yisrael. You needed to plead on behalf of Israel. You needed to evoke compassion. Hizkartoli, so you mentioned before me, zechut avot. You mentioned the merit of the patriarchs. Says Rashi, kisovor, in other words, you might think, kisovor atashim tama zechus avos einoi tikva. If the merit of the patriarchs is gone, then there is no hope. Hashem says, not so. Now I will teach you the goodness. Now I will teach you my goodness. The way that you can use the through prayer to be able to evoke my forgiveness. Ani avir, I'm going to allow to pass. Kol midas tuvi lefanecha. In other words, I will reveal to you the way I am revealed in goodness. It's as if here's God's goodness. Moshe Rabbeinu was appealing to God's good side. Can you please do this? Can you please be good to the people? They've been bad to you. You be good to them. So God says to Moses, I'm going to give you some of my goodness. I'm going to reveal to you part of my goodness. You want to get me to be good? You want to get my goodness? So I'm revealing part of the goodness to you. And this is going to be Al Hatzur. You're going to be, when I pass through this mountain cleft, the Ata Tzofen B'Ma'ora, and you are going to be squirreled away, hidden in the cave. That's how you'll see partially part of God's goodness. V'karasi b'shem Hashem l'fanecha. I'm going to proclaim God's name before you. This means, says Rashi, l'lamedcha seder bakashas rachamim. This means that God is going to be teaching Moshe the order of evoking divine mercy. And that is to say, af im tichle zechus avos. Even if the merit of patriarchs dissipates, is spent, and in this order that you will see, I see me, ma'utaf. And here, God, Rashi, is telling us, evokes some very, very literal metaphor. And he talks about being wrapped. But wrapped in what? What is God? God is saying, you're going to see me wrapped. Now, wrapped is an expression that refers to a talit, refers to tzitzit. That's the idea of wrapped. So Moshe Rabbeinu, God says to Moshe, I'm going to show myself to you wrapped. You see me? It's metaphorical, of course. The koyre yud gimul midas. I'm going to proclaim the 13 attributes of mercy. So the secret to being able to get God's mercy is the 13 attributes. If we're going to succeed, it's going to be with the 13 attributes. When all else fails, when the merits of our ancestors will no longer cut it, they will no longer do it for us, the 13 attributes of mercy will. Havim alamed es Yisrael lasas kein. Teach the Israelites, teach the Jewish people to do this. Val yidei sheyazkiru lefanai rachom v'chanon, when they mention before me, compassionate and merciful and graceful, yiyu ne'enin, they will be responded to. Why? Ki rachamai le'kolim, because my mercy is endless. So don't appeal to the virtues of the patriarchs, appeal to my mercy. Because my mercy never ends. Now this is not something Moshe Rabbeinu could have known. Think about it in this way. If you have an issue with somebody, and the person owes you something, you did something in the past, or maybe it wasn't you, your father did something for them. If it wasn't your father, maybe it was your grandfather who did something for them. And the person is being very harsh, rightfully so. You behave very badly. This is a person who right now is in a position of power. So what might you do? You say, could you please have mercy on me? Or would you say, you know, you don't exactly owe me, but please think of please think of my father, think of my mother, think of what my grandmother did to you. My grandmother saved your life or saved your family. So now, which would you choose? I would for sure choose to evoke the merit of the past. And say, you know what? When you needed me, I was there for you. My grandfather, my grandmother did such and such. I say, well, you know, that's true. Your grandmother and your grandfather did so. So in that case, I'll be there for you now. That's normal. Most people react to that. We feel a sense of duty. We feel a sense of commitment when somebody did something for us or when there's a merit of the past. My mercy, I don't know if I'm not interested in being merciful today. I don't want to be merciful. So the question then becomes, when you're dealing with God, is the best way to evoke the merit of the patriarchs? Moshe Rabbeinu thought, yes. When all else fails, this is not my children, says Moses. This is Abraham's children, Isaac's children, Jacob's children. There's a past there. And they sacrifice for you, so you sacrifice for them. They went out of their way, you go out of your way. But God says to Moshe, it's different. When you're relating with God, you should know that God's mercy is endless. So don't appeal to or evoke the idea of past achievements or accomplishments. The most effective way is not just saying Zchor l'Avram l'Yitzchok l'Yankiv. The most effective way is saying Hashem, Hashem, k'lachom b'chama. We couldn't have known that. And human beings are not like this. And the reason human beings are not like this is because invariably our mercy is spent. We don't have endless reservoirs of mercy. At a certain point, say, okay, that's over now. No more mercy now. One time you crossed me, a second time you crossed me. By the way, this is the 10th time that the Jewish people had vexed God. It's 10 times? I'm done. Don't even appeal to my mercy anymore. But he said, okay, but you know, but my grandmother saved you. Okay, fine. Fine. That's different. But it's exactly the opposite. But God says, it doesn't mean I give the keys away. Nonetheless, when I want to be gracious, I'm choosing to be gracious. And then, when I choose to be merciful, when I choose to be merciful, I didn't say this is going to work always. And it factually doesn't. Sometimes we scream 13 attributes of mercy and we don't get the response we wanted. So God said to Moshe, here's the secret. It doesn't mean it's always going to work. But this is the best, most effective way to do it.
Is this for on a communal level, or is this even on an individual level?
It's a very good question, Nathan. I would think it's on an individual level also.
Really?
To some degree. Because in the 13 attributes of mercy that we say in the davening, if there's no minion, we don't say it. So,
right.
So it's not simple. On some level, every yid can reach out to Hashem. But there's something about being together with the congregation. It's something with being together with the idea of tzibur, which is tzaddik, beinoni, and rasha. From every extreme, from the wicked to the righteous to the in-betweeners. So it's not so simple. And even so, even when it's on a communal level, doesn't mean Hashem responds.
The reason I'm asking that way is because to me, what's on a communal level, I can understand appealing to
mercy.
Right? But okay. On an individual level, I think you would just say, Hashem, have mercy on me, as opposed to saying, please remember the merits of
Allah. Why? On an individual level, I guess I forget about me. It's not as me. I'm not asking you as me today. You know, today I'm asking you as I'm still a child of
1,770 years since the
time. So what?
No, yeah.
That's my claim to fame. What do you think they're persecuting us for? Persecuting us because they don't like my nose? Because I'm Jewish. What does it mean being Jewish? Being Jewish, I'm a child of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. But the question is, does Hashem grant this endless mercy to every individual? And that's a very good question. On some level, I think yes. But really and truly, to invoke these 13 attributes of mercy, you need to have a communal prayer. It's not open and shut. So Rashi says, V'dichamti is when I want to be merciful. Ad kan lehivtichai, ele itim ene ve'itim loyene. Really, if you think about it, what God has promised Moshe Rabbeinu, is here's an efficacious way to pray. I didn't say I'm going to answer. Sometimes I'll answer. Sometimes I won't. I will b'shas ma'isa. However, at the time when God does teach Moshe Rabbeinu the 13 attributes, which are later on, in the next chapter, Amar lehine anochi kodesh bris, and that was what we read in the Torah reading on Erev Purim. I'm going to make this covenant. He promised, guaranteed us, they never come home empty. Now, what exactly does this mean? Does it mean we always get the answer we were looking for? I don't think so. Because there's so many times when we did people made requests and didn't get the answer. But Einon Chayzus Meika means it's never a waste. It's not in vain. It didn't get you what you wanted. It's not the answer you were looking for. But God says, I will always respond. So, in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by God how to get his attention. You will always get my attention. It doesn't mean you're always going to get the answer you're looking for.
So the system is rigged, though, because...
The system is rigged, eh? Well, it's rigged in our favor.
Because Hashem may not answer the way we'd like him to, but he's answering the way we need him to. So...
But he's always going to answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying, why... Simplistically, say the answer could be no. I mean, or...
But even when the answer seems like a no in our realm, it doesn't mean our prayers weren't efficacious.
That's right.
Yeah. It's rigged in our favor.
Because Hashem doesn't have opinions or feelings. He can't help but be generous and merciful and loving and caring.
Exactly. It says, I will always be merciful, loving, and caring. Yeah. And this was the secret.
But sometimes it's shown through harshness.
Right. Sometimes the answer is not the answer we were looking for. We said the Eibush is always good. But sometimes it's not overt good. It's not revealed good. So what do we ask for? Toiv hanirav hanigl. We ask for open good. Don't give us that secret, mysterious good. Thanks, but no thanks. Give us good we can relate to as good. Give us the sweet we call sweet, not what you call sweet. But sometimes God does what God wants to do.
We can't say our agenda is better, so give us what?
You know, that's an interesting question. Yeah. That's an interesting question. So Turnus Rufus, Yamach Shumai Keset Reb Akiva, he said, God made somebody poor, and you want to give him tzedakah? So God wants us to overdo, so to speak, overcome what he presents, but never gives us the right to question Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. Now, we don't have time to go through the rest of these verses, but Moshe Rabbeinu basically is, God describes to him, you're going to be in a cleft and I'm going to pass by, and we know that God's passing by in a talus. That's already Rashi has told us. And then, at the end of the reading, it says, V'asiraisi eskapa, I'm going to remove my hand, V'reisa eschoyra, you'll see my back. But ufonai lo yiro, God doesn't have a front and a back, it's a euphemism. It's all anthropomorphical. You'll see my back, not my front. So we don't really know what that means. Anthropomorphical. So Rashi says, you look at the last Rashi on Pasuk Chav Gimel, which is the end of chapter 33. Rashi says, what does this mean, to see my back? What kind of metaphor is it? We don't know what that means. It's anthropomorphical. I know what the hands of Hashem, I know what eyes of Hashem, I could think, what a back? What's a back? What does it say? God's speech, I can imagine what that means. God's nostrils, okay, it's God's anger. What is a back? The back is not, it doesn't communicate anything. The back, it's nothing. So Rashi says, our sages expounded, Heru Kesher Shel Tefillin, that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the knot of Tefillin. Which doesn't really help us that much. Okay. So it was a back, and backs are non-expressive. So he said, well, you showed him a knot. He showed him the knot of tefillin. And the question, of course, that we could ask ourselves is, what has Rashi done for us? What didn't we know before? What do we know now? And how do we leave this collection of verses, extraordinary collection of verses, verses in which Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for the be-all and know-all, and God says, I want to give you some be-all and know-all. Now Rashi learns the pshat in Moshe Rabbeinu's request, teach me how to get through to you. Reveal yourself to me. I can't figure you out, God. What makes you tick? As if. And God says, I'll tell you the way to get through to me. The way to get through to me is appealing to my mercy. Not only by evoking the schus. The schus of the avos is very important, and it was done daily in the Beis HaMikdash, and we do it in our prayers, but that's not the only thing. Now there is another whole school of thought to this, which is found in the Gemara and Brachas, and the Mefarshim talk about it, where Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know why bad things happen to good people, why good things happen to bad people. He wanted to know everything. And God says, you can't know everything. It doesn't work that way. If you knew everything, you couldn't be. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, according to Rashi, in Pshuta Shel Mikra, I want to know you. I want to figure you out. I want to know. And God says, I can show part. Show part. He says, L'sucha liris hispana, you can't see my face. You can't see my face and live, but you can see my back. And what is that? That's the knot of the tefillin, Rashi says. So let's go over to the Biurim book. And let's try now to understand the business of this knot of tefillin and how that would actually helps us in any way, shape, or form to understand the anthropomorphism which the Torah is evoking for us here. So we're going to go to page Shin Chaf Hei. And this is Shin Chavav. Entry number Mem Aleph of Parshas Kisisa. So here, the Rebbe sets out to explain Mashma'usa Haruchnias, the spiritual meaning of seeing a kesher of tefillin, seeing a tefillin knot. What does that mean, to see a tefillin knot? So the Rebbe says something very interesting. B'tchilas ha'inyan, in the beginning of this whole conversation, which starts in verse 18 onward, Hashem says, Vayemer ani aver kol tuvi al panecha, I'm going to have all my goodness pass before you, before me. V'karasi b'shem Hashem lefanecha, I will call out God's name before you. Pirush Rashi. So Rashi said, as we just learned together, that this is the time has come for you to see my glory, and I'm going to teach you, say der tefillah haradavim. V'karasi b'shem Hashem lefanecha, what does that mean, calling out God's name before you? V'lamedcha seder b'kashas rachamim, to learn the order of beseeching, petitioning, pleading for God's mercy. Sha'ata raya oisi me'utaf, you see me wrapped. And we talked about that being wrapped means is a euphemism for the talit. V'koyre yud gimel midas, and then you're calling out these 13 attributes. Have a melamedes, Yisrael lasis, came teach the Israelites, teach the children of Yisrael to do this. And they will mention before me, gracious and merciful, Yiyunenen, I'll respond. Why? Because my mercy is endless. This is the Rashi we learned together. That's the opening Rashi that we studied. So the Rebbe says something interesting. Kol ha'inyan ha'matur b'ksuv ha'melu, everything that's described in these psukim, namely, Kriyas Yud Gimel Midas Arachman, the calling out or invoking of the 13 attributes of mercy. Re'iyas Kveid Hashchina al Yedei Meisha, which is resultant in the proverbial seeing of God's presence through Meisha. Mahavachelik Melimud Seid Debarkashas Rachman, ultimately comprises a portion of learning how to invoke or to evoke God's mercy. We're going to invoke something to evoke something. We'll invoke the idea of Hashem's mercy, Yud Gimel Midas, and that will evoke or bring forth Hashem's mercy. In other words, Limud HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meisha, God's teaching Meisha, Ketzad Yesh Levakesh Rachamim, you need my mercy, here's how to get it. Here's how to obtain Mechila Al Chatoyim, pardon for sin, here's how to get it. So that the request, the petition, be responded to. Within this framework of obtaining God's pardon, bringing forth God's mercy, that's where the kesher shel tefillin, that's where the tefillin knot shows up. So here's the Rebbe's commentary. Hasiba l'kach she'adam chayte, the reason for sin. Why do we do sin? What is the single most powerful ingredient in sin?
Folly.
Folly, which means foolishness. Yetzirah. The Rebbe says there's something else. There's something else. There's a single ingredient which causes us to go ahead and do and sin. If we wouldn't have this ingredient, we would never sin.
Selfish. Ego.
Shikha. Forgetfulness. Or lack of mindfulness. Ilu haya zoicher, if we would remember, umesev es chumas libe lekach, we would set our hearts to this. Shehabriya kula neitzeres mechadosh bechol rega al yedei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that the world is constantly being brought into existence by God, like a film that's being projected onto the wall, a virtual reality. It's constantly being brought into reality. And the moment God wouldn't want us to be, we wouldn't be. If we would remember this at all times. Nobody would think of violating the will of God. How could you do that? If you are mindful of God's continuous presence, if you're mindful of God continuing to animate it and to bring us into existence, nobody would go against God. How could you go rebel against God? Now, obviously, we're assuming that we're talking about people who believe this. Obviously. Who believe this. But most people who sin are people who believe in Hashem. They do believe in God. They do believe this is the right thing. They do believe that. We're not talking about people who don't believe altogether. We're talking about but you and me, who do things wrong. Why do we do things wrong? If you would be like at the moment of the end of Yom Kippur, at the moment of Nilu, and screaming Shema Yisrael, would you do that sin? For sure not. If you're in the middle of Tekiah Shofar on a regular Wednesday, and you had that same feeling you have when the shofar is going to blow, would you do that? Of course you wouldn't do that sin. What seems to make such perfect sense at that moment, somehow, and in that regular middle of that hectic work week on a regular Wednesday afternoon, somehow you're not bringing it to mind. We forgot the way things were, and this is our problem. Our problem is forgetfulness, and if you will, perhaps you could say lack of mindfulness, which is what forgetfulness is. You know, like that famous thing. Somebody forgets. You forgot. The person's angry at you. So why angry? I forgot. I made a mistake. So that's why I'm upset. That you could forget. How could you forget that? If you forgot that, that means it didn't really matter to you. You know, there's a terrible thing every summer you hear about people leaving their children in the car. Terrible. Like, it's hot outside. So the person says, I'm sorry, I forgot. That's the problem. How could you forget? How could you forget that? And people question somebody's ability to be a parent if they forgot. The truth is, it's not really fair. Sometimes people are in all kinds of stress and whatever. It could happen. But this is the point of the complaint. How could it be? The point of the complaint is that if it was important enough, you couldn't forget it. Hasiba hayechida, the singular reason Sha'adam Masuga Lachta, that a person can actually go ahead and sin. And again, we're talking about believing Jews, committed Jews, loving Jews. Mishum shushecheach l'rega emes alikis, because we forget for a moment that truth, that godly truth. U'mesiach daitim imenu. We slip, our mind slips. We're not mindful. This is a shikha haminutzelas al yedei hayetzer kedei lahachtie. This is a forgetfulness that's exploited. Yitzhara exploits this in order to get us to sin. Haderech l'taken zeis. So how can we fix it? How can we fix this? Simple. Chizuk hazikaron, strengthen the memory. If we strengthen our memory, al ha'adam lahazkir la'atzmi tamid es ha'emes ha'likis. He has to constantly remind himself about the godly truth. And in doing so, yitaken es chatoi ha'avar. He'll be able to fix his past sins. V'yavtiach, and then you can guarantee, shelo yechta ba'asad, that you won't sin in the future. This is the reason that our reading, the study we did today, which talks about obtaining pardon and Hashem's mercy, is done mitoich hisatvus betalis uve hisatrus betfilin, wrapped in the talis, crowned by the tefillin, strings and straps. Shekein. You tell me. You tell me if strings and straps are emblematic of memory, and we'll see that mercy in a moment. Tzitzis and tefillin mashpias al hazikaron. The strings and the straps are supposed to influence our memory. Ala tzitzis nemar. What does it say on the tzitzis? Ureisem aysa. You see them. Uzechartem, and you remember. Ala tefillin, on the tefillin it says ulizikaron beinenecha, a remembrance between your eyes. In other words, this is the meaning of Hashem showing Moshe his back, which Rashi interprets as Hero Kesher Shel Tefillin. He shows him the knot of tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hero LeMoshe Es HaDerech HaTikun HaChet. God is showing Moshe Rabbeinu, not mercy now. He's showing him, here's what you need to work on. Here's what you need to tell Jewish people to work on. Tesefes Chizuk, strengthen the knot. Strengthen the forget-me-not. And as long as you strengthen the forget-me-not, right? If you remember there are strings attached, if they're not, you have this forget-me-not, so then you're going to be, everything will be fine. In other words, the way the Rebbe explains Rashi's commentary here, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught not only how to deal with the post-sin reality, or how to obtain Hashem's mercy, but Hashem was actually showing him how not to sin to begin with. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, tell me your secret. God says, I'll tell you your secret. You want to know how to get my pardon? I'll tell you how to not end up in a pickle to begin with. And if you remember at all times, everything will be fine. So we have to keep reminding ourselves to remember. People today have a reminder to remember. They tie a string around their finger. Why are you tying a string? So I look at the string and say, well, how come there's a red string on my thumb? Oh, I don't know. They have to think about the red string, and that reminds me to remember. And it's an interesting thing that you always hear of men forgetting their wife's birthdays, but I never heard of the other way around. I never heard a man said to me, you know, my wife forgot my birthday. I'm upset. How come? I guess because forgetfulness is a male thing. Men seem to have a much greater propensity for forgetting than do women. And that's probably why men have to have tzitzis and tefillin, and women don't need it, because we forget. And as long as we all would keep remembering, if you need to tie a string to remember, or if you need to simply remember, if you need to have a forget-me-not, or just forget-me-not, without the K, as long as we don't forget Hashem, as long as we constantly remind ourselves of Hashem's presence, then we won't have to ask for Hashem's forgiveness, because the lechatchila won't do the wrong thing. And we do the right thing, that of course accelerates the process of global redemption, and it will bring us to the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira, u'l'yameinu, amen.